My name's Sean Collier. Yeah, I'm here with Aaron Cliver.
Hey!
And Chris Prexta.
Hello, everybody.
Look, stick around, because we're going to talk about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And the reason why I sound annoyed is because I hate everything right now. Let me... yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to get it, and we'll, I'll tell you a million times, we're going to do non-spoilers before the break.
Yeah, halfway through, we're going to get spoilery.
Because there's just so much to complain about that I'm not willing to not have it on this episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, March 25th. Friday, March 25th.
Sure.
2016. My name's Sean Collier, as stated in that exasperated opening. Aaron's back.
Hey!
You missed him last week on the Friday the 13th episode. I gotta tell you something else about that later.
I was bummed about that.
Yeah.
And we have our friend Chris Prexta. Some people don't know you.
A lot of people don't know me.
Yeah.
Many people don't know me.
Chris Prexta is a writer and director. You've done things for sci-fi, and you're working on another movie right now. One of the best visual directors I know, and you're my friend,
though. That's very kind of you to say.
That's true. I mean,
look up Mercury Men.
Yeah, look up Mercury Men. And I also used to sleep over his house when I was 12.
Yeah.
And eat all his snacks.
And the creator of Pittsburgh Dad, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh Dad. Hey, that's 2 weeks in a row. Two Pittsburgh Dad weeks in a row, because
it was Kurt
last
week. We're taking it over.
For Friday the 13th. I have to say something up front because I feel bad. I've got to get my guilt out of the way. Did you know that I. Got to break casting news for this movie we just watched.
Really?
Yes. Very slight, but it happened. Because a very talented and very, very, very talented actress, very nice person named Christina Wren.
Yeah.
Plays Sergeant Carol Ferris. She was, for you, she was in that scene, they're on the phone with the president, she was the younger woman in that
Carol
scene.
Carol Ferris is Green Lantern.
That's why it's interesting. So, she's from Pittsburgh, and
yep.
She had a small part in Man of Steel, and she contacted me at Pittsburgh Magazine, and let us announce that she was coming back for Batman v Superman.
Oh.
And all of the comic book sites picked it up because of that Green Lantern connection. Her character's name is Sergeant Carol Ferris. It's spelled differently, but Carrie Ferris is Green Lantern's girlfriend.
Yes.
So there's a lot of speculation. Is that character the same? Anyway, that was awesome, and I really appreciated that she reached out to me, and that was cool. I broke Batman Superman news, which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And she's so nice, and she did a good job. And
she
was really
great in it. I gotta say, I know it's such a quick scene,
but yeah.
It was... actually
yeah.
very effective. In a
yeah.
movie where a lot of stuff wasn't entirely effective,
yeah.
that was actually a standout moment.
And I wanted to lead with that because I appreciate, you know, that she reached out, and I like her, and I wanted to lead with that because I hate this movie so much. And I wanted to make sure that I thanked her before.
I love that your hate is bubbling and spewing that you cannot contain it.
You go
right
into it.
Yeah, I mean... You know, if it's something that we're kind of neutral about, we can kind of tease out our opinion over the course of an episode. That's not what's going on here. I'm just angry and bitter.
I just said, Sean, you need to quarterback this because my mind is spinning. I don't know what to complain about first.
Yeah.
And I also always feel bad when we hate a movie and it feels like everybody else... loves it.
I don't think you're going to have that. I think there's some, you know, fan buzz around this from people who got to see a sneak preview and were excited about it. I think that what you're going to be hearing through the weekend is a lot of disappointment.
Can I just say one of the I know I complain about this all the time, but I'm going to say this right out front. This movie is not for children.
Yeah.
This movie is not for middle schoolers.
Let me drop a reminder before we jump right in again, because I like to say it in the intro and then here again in case people skipped
it. Yeah, we're going to say it every 5 minutes.
After the break, so we're going to talk for 20, 30 minutes. There's going to be a break. You'll hear a commercial from the Epicast Network. After that break, we're spoiling the shit out of this one, like we did on the Star Wars episode.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying it again.
We're going to say things.
Now, to your point, yeah.
I get so, I mean, I'm a father of three, and I get so frustrated when we're at a screener, and we're surrounded by children. And it was not only that, I mean, you know, I'll go back to the old story about how there was a bunch of three-year-olds in The Evil Dead.
Right.
Yeah, that happened. But, you know, this made me even more mad that this movie was so dark and violent.
Incredibly violent.
The violence, like, there was multiple things that were just like, I mean, executions. It's not spoilery yet.
This involves, you know, things that come up in this movie are like African genocide and sex trafficking.
Pedophiles. No, we're saying words that they actually said. Pedophiles, rapes.
Yes.
In a Superman movie.
Superman movie. Yeah. And the you know, I you can get angry from a parent's perspective. I get angry from a movie perspective, where this is one of those shining examples of how the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA, they're the ones that do ratings,
yeah.
PG-13R. They are completely bow down to a big movie.
Yeah, and this is rated R.
This is
hands down.
This is as clearly an R-rated movie to me as Deadpool was.
Right.
Deadpool says fuck and has boobs. This is so much more disturbing and violent.
How crazy it is. We talked about this double standard before, about how the violence and the things that they talk about in this movie. But then, God forbid, you show a lady's boobs laying in bed in the morning.
Right.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's an R.
Like, I honestly, if my 5-year-old son got a glimpse of a lady in the shower's boobs, it would be, I'd be like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Those women have boobs.
Yeah.
He knows they feed babies.
Right.
Like, it's not, you know, sex scenes are another thing, but it's, do you know what I mean?
True.
Like, he'd be like, her boobies.
You right.
Know, that's it.
Right.
Not like genocide and rape.
But if he's a comic book character murdering human
beings.
Yes. Yeah.
And the way that, you know, it's come down is, the way that things have developed is a lot of parents, I don't have kids, so I can't really criticize. A lot of parents think, as long as it's not an R, my kids are smart, I can take them. So if you give a movie a PG-13, you're saying you're okay if kids are there.
PG-13 means nothing anymore.
Nothing. There's
it means
no,
nothing.
We're back to the 80s. You know, they made PG-13 happened
yeah.
to distinguish from PG. Excuse me, because Temple of Doom.
And Red Dawn.
And Red Dawn and Gremlins
yeah.
were PG movies. And they said, we need another rating in between here.
Yeah.
And 30 years later, that's completely undone, where there is no difference between
PG
and PG-13.
No, it's also unfortunate that it's with a superhero movie, because superheroes are for children. They are literally created for children
yeah.
to read and watch and talk about and see. So, of course, you can't blame a parent for seeing a Batman
yeah.
poster and saying, yeah, I'm going to take my kid to
exactly.
see a Batman movie.
And
because
we're not,
since Adam West, kids have been able to watch Batman.
Yeah.
Right, and we're not, and again, we're all three of us are comic book readers. We're not saying that there aren't grown-up comics.
Correct.
We're saying that Batman and Superman and Iron Man and everybody, not Deadpool, but the vast majority of superheroes
right.
were created with children
and
in
this,
mind.
And that, you know, I talked to my wife very briefly between mm-hmm. the movie and the podcast, and just like, you know, hey, what's up? How was it? And I told her about it, and she's like, that's the problem. And they're going to have toys and Happy Meals.
They already do.
So, yeah, I know. What I want the Batman one where he shoots somebody in the face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is that a toy? Or is there... I'll get into the spoilers on more Batman toys.
Yeah, well, that...
They're going to have that as a toy.
We sound like the grumpy old men podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that gets into another problem is, there's we could be here for 4 hours talking about problems.
Can you guys have me on for a good movie at one point?
Hey,
you've had me on for Man of Steel, the Ninja Turtles remake,
yeah,
the
true.
RoboCop remake,
yeah, you've been on some
and
terrible.
Thor 2.
Yeah,
I don't get the call for Mad Max. I don't get the call for Inside Out.
We don't even bring a guest for some of those.
Yeah.
You know it's good. You don't need someone. You just want someone to come.
Well, I was another problem. That was not Batman. That just wasn't Batman. I mean, now,
we'd have to get spoilery.
We would have to get a little spoilery, so I'm going to keep this broad. We'll talk more about it later. But
before you get into that, I just would love to hear your general, like, maybe go around to both you guys, but just your general overview thoughts of,
critical reaction.
We'll go through the acting and the music.
Yeah, but what's your total, like, you know, your just, like, each one of your just general tone or, you know, coming away from it, initial reactions just to the overall movie?
It has a really bad story where they, you know, there were glimmers of interesting directions they could have gone in, and then they just diverted back to the same old shit every time. You know, the direction, we could talk more about Zack Snyder. He's made some good stuff. I like the Dawn of the Dead remake. I like 300. I like Watchmen, okay. But his direction is so heavy-handed and needlessly flashy and melodramatic. This movie's 2.5 hours long. If he hadn't have been allowed to use slow motion, you could have got it done in 140. Because every third shot is someone in slow motion walking purposefully somewhere. And gets really slow for long stretches. You know, there is more talking and thinking in this fun summer action movie than anything I can name. It is not fun for a minute. And that's, I mean, if you want my overall reaction, it's that. Comic book movies can take a lot of different forms, can go light to dark, but they're supposed to be fun. The Dark Knight, very dark. It's right there in the title. Still fun. Yeah. You can, you know, the spectrum is from there to Ant-Man, or the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, which is almost a comedy.
Right.
But the one thing is, it has to be fun. This movie is no fun at all.
No, and I'm so tired of the end of the world. Like, you just jump. It's just instantly the end of the world. The biggest stakes that they throw at the wall. Like, why can't we just have, like, crime in Metropolis?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, why is the planet going to implode?
Because I think, specifically with something like Superman, it's very difficult to come up with a conflict that Superman can't solve instantaneously.
Sure.
With Batman, that's why there's so many better Batman stories, because...
Well, which is why the first Superman's very good.
Yes, because
the first
you literally...
Mr. Reeves.
Yes, because you literally come up with two missiles heading in opposite directions. You can't get both of them.
Yeah.
There is, we won't get into spoilers, but there is at least a couple moments where they have things that Superman, small things, not bombs, not massive things, but tiny things that Superman can't overcome, which was surprising to me.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's surprisingly for a movie about Superman who, like, you know, I just know myself growing up, every image of Superman had him flying through the clouds with a massive smile on his face.
Chris's room was covered in Superman.
Yes, I mean, he just, I'm going to be biased here, but... I don't know that I've ever seen such a popcorn summer movie that is so joyless, that is just soulless and dour and cynical and dark and violent. And, like, Superman spends more time moping.
He's just sulking.
He's sulking. An entire movie of, like,
he's supposed to be this bright, shining hero.
And the whole movie, you know... So much of the movie is exploring that idea of, like, Superman as a god. And so there's just this massive debate happening the entire movie.
Well, and
but I'm just like, that's just not... I'm sorry, it's just not interesting.
Which,
I mean,
by the way, not for nothing, that's kind of what Watchmen is about.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's in 300. This whole... 300 ends with, can a god bleed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a big part of this
and
movie.
And X-Men has played around with it for the last couple movies.
But that's the thing. So Zack Snyder has the stuff that he likes, and that's what goes into Batman and
he's
Superman.
I gotta say, I think he's an insanely talented director. But his vision for these heroes is just very divisive. There's going to be some people that love, like, oh, look how badass it is.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people that love that, and there's going to be other people, like the three of us sitting here, that are just repelled by just how dark and, you know, overused term, gritty everything is.
Yeah, I don't mind Batman being dark. Yeah. I like Batman. He's my favorite hero. But, like, it just, it doesn't, it, I don't know.
I will say, right. Like,
his Zack Snyder's darkness just...
Well, clearly someone needs to show that man a rainbow. Someone needs to take Zack Snyder out, take him to Kennywood or something. Like, get that guy. Gosh. I will say, if I can find some positive in it.
There's a few.
There's a few scenes that were effective. There's an opening scene with Bruce Wayne that, to me, was incredibly effective.
I thought that was great. That was fun.
And handles and deals with... Is that a spoiler?
Leftover.
Deals
no,
very...
it's in a Jeep commercial at this point.
That deals very well with the ending of Man of Steel.
Yes.
That a lot of people had a big problem
which
with.
Which I hated the ending of that movie.
Right.
And this in some way, some tiny way, partially redeemed it.
It does a little bit.
They have a...
But then they throw that away, by the way.
Yeah.
They, you know, that's where the movie started.
Well,
it's like,
just...
oh, they're going in an interesting... No, not really.
And there's a couple... There are a couple scenes with Batman where it suddenly feels like you're in just the Batman movie that are kind of...
That are really cool.
Yes, that are effective.
I mean, I really like the Batman suit. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons is a great
He's
Alfred.
A really great
yeah,
Alfred.
That was good.
They mixed Morgan Freeman and... Michael Caine together.
Yeah, that's literally dead on. I gotta say, you know who's an odd standout for me, who I thought was kind of pointless in the first Man of Steel, they try a bit too much humor with him, but at least somebody's trying humor, is Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
As Perry White.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't laugh at him, but they're trying.
He's at least trying to bring some levity to everything. Not that Lawrence Fishburne is personally trying. He's not like writing his own jokes. I'm like, hey, let me try this one. But I like that there was at least one character that wasn't dour.
Music was good.
I liked large portions of the soundtrack.
Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL. Great. Love
them
both.
Interesting mix. I do love them separately.
Yeah.
them together at some points was a little hilarious.
Yeah, there were a few moments.
There were some good stuff there. I'm gonna listen to it on Spotify tomorrow
if
it's out.
I mean, the problem with Superman and Batman is you're gonna have to get 100 years away from John Williams and Tim Burton before that's not a better soundtrack.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, the Batman theme from the Keaton films and the Superman theme.
Oh,
cannot
touch Danny Elfman's Batman.
Mm-hmm. It is honestly the equivalent of trying to make a Star Wars movie without Star Wars themes.
Yes.
Right.
And you just can't do it.
Well, and to the again to the tone of it. You know, I think that we know what happened here. I think that DC saw Marvel making really fun movies where you can have...
We've said that before.
Where you can
that
have...
They're like, you know what? We're going to be...
We're going to go the other way.
We're going to be DC. We're going to be Batman dark.
Right. And
on top of that, they had three super successful, gritty movies.
But
that literally...
they don't remember that that's... Batman.
Yes. And
not
that led
Superman.
The charge. Dark Knight, the success of Dark Knight just led the charge for gritty films of all types. They started grittying everything.
And you know what? Still, Christopher Nolan's was still not this
it
gritty.
Was,
I know.
It was still fun. That's what I'm saying. Think about some of the disturbing shit in Dark Knight, but there's still moments in Dark Knight where you're like,
right? True.
Yes.
And not just jokes. Like, it wasn't just straight out jokes.
Just,
I gotta say, some of the joke, like, Nolan always struggled with straight up jokes.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
were things always fell flat. But Nolan was incredibly clever.
Right.
Yeah. Plot moments that were just clever. Mm-hmm. And that cleverness brought levity.
Or,
this is not clever.
The word,
this is just, oh, there's a big monster. Punch it.
The word might be cool. If it's not fun, it might not be funny, but it's like, oh, that's cool. You know?
It works. It works.
Right. In Nolan. Here, it's like, what am I supposed to have enjoyed? That's what was supposed to be an enjoyable experience. Action sequences. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and there were very, like, and also, as a whole, there was no, like, motivation from scene to scene. I didn't feel. It was very disjointed.
Yeah. Very
I just
bad.
Just didn't, it was like.
And once again, this comes down to a common complaint I have with most Superman movies, which is Superman is just kind of there.
Yeah.
He's never really after something, trying to accomplish something.
Right.
He is just... Batman is very proactive. Batman has a goal that he's kind of pushing this entire film. Superman is just
mission there.
He just kind of shows up every 15 to 20 minutes, not even 20 to 30 minutes, and mopes. He doesn't have something that he wants to do, accomplish.
He doesn't and the reason why he's moping, he has no solutions.
Nothing. So it's just very clear that I don't know who, directors or screenwriters, it's just clear that they just don't get Superman. I'm not saying like
I agree.
I'm a fan, so I'm not like
you.
I don't know, I can't say like, oh, I know the solution.
No, I agree.
All
with
I know it is from what I'm seeing from them, they just don't get him. They just don't have a good
grasp
on it.
They get Batman.
They get him.
And they're trying to inject that into everything else.
But here's the problem with there's a million problems with taking the dark, gritty tone. When I think of Batman and Superman hanging out, you mentioned Teen Titans.
Which is hilarious.
Or I think of like the 50s Justice League comics,
right,
which are just goofy. Because, this Superman can't exist in Batman's world. You've got to have some kind of like, you have to have some levity to it.
To see the best pair up of Batman and Superman. Hands down, you have to go to the animated series. The first meetup is called World's Finest.
Absolutely.
It's the first meetup of Batman and Superman in the cartoon. And it's both fun and clever, and both characters maintain their own tone.
Yeah. We can agree.
I don't know why
the
Warner
animated
Brothers,
series cartoons
yes,
are the
I don't
best.
Know why Warner Brothers has not scooped up these animated series writers and said, write a freaking film for us.
Yeah.
Well, and
because any Justice League cartoon, any one of them.
The Justice League cartoon is good.
Yes,
the animated Justice League.
Any one of them gets all of these characters a million times better than these
and
films.
And as much as, you know, the people producing the DC movies right now have an understanding of Batman, and certainly have an understanding of Batman's world, we could get into it more after the break. That, I don't feel like I just watched Batman. If I watch The Dark Knight, I watch Batman. If I watch the animated series, that was Batman. If I watch the goddamn Lego movie, that was Batman. If I play the video game, that was Batman.
Mean.
This was like a different character in the Batman suit.
There were glimpses that we liked was Batman. But then it was like Batman was just thrown in this world of explosions. And he's just like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Like, they also... the other weird thing that Snyder never really lands on is he never is able to either Metropolis or Gotham. Neither of them has any distinction.
They have no
identity.
They
have no identity.
Right.
They're just cities.
They're two lit up cities.
They're just two lit up cities.
That Xbox game, Arkham, whatever. I bought it last year. Arkham, was it Arkham Knight? Arkham.
Whole Arkham series, yeah.
What was the last one? Asylum. We both played it. You know the one I'm talking about that came out last year.
Arkham City or Arkham
Knight.
There
was a lot of Batmobile in it.
I don't remember.
That was Gotham.
You
were hanging around in Gotham. And look, I love video games. And they're an art
Batman form. The Lego game, Gotham, is awesome.
How do the video game makers have a better idea of creating Gotham than the movie
because
makers?
Because they're devoting an entire thing to one city, one world, one thing.
I think it's a good
thing.
This
point, is
though.
Trying
How
to mix
they...
so many things. Like, not only are you trying to mix Superman and Batman, but now you're trying to mix Wonder Woman. You're trying to cram Justice League in there very quickly.
Should. That's a great.
You're trying to introduce.
That word is perfect.
Yeah.
They are cramming shit together.
Well,
nothing can stand on its own.
And a point you made, Aaron, they're desperately trying to catch up to Marvel.
Absolutely.
Because. You know, Marvel handled this perfectly. Where here's Iron Man.
It was a very whoever the studio head is,
right?
Kevin Feige.
He's nailed Marvel
one at a time. Here's
great plan, great vision.
You want to see them all hang out? You're gonna have to wait 6-7 years.
Yeah. I honestly wonder sometimes though. Like, I wonder if they had. I doubt I could be dead wrong, but I doubt that Kevin Feige and Marvel had this vision 100% mapped out when they did Iron Man 1.
No,
they're like,
no, no.
Here's a hero. They did that little credits tag at the end
right.
with Samuel Jackson, anywhere he mentioned the Avengers, like, ah, wouldn't that be neat, whatever. And I think when they saw the response,
yeah.
then it was like, oh, people were on board.
Well, don't forget, they had the Hulk coming out later that year.
Yes.
And the scene in
that... That was garbage.
Yeah, that one never won very
but
good.
But they filmed a new scene
but
to
the
tie
scene,
it in.
The scene that where Tony Stark shows up in that Hulk movie
yeah.
was not part of the plan.
No.
They saw the reaction to... Nick Fury showed up and they're gonna... And they were like... Robert Downey Jr., get
yes.
back in here. We got to start planting yeah. this seed a little bit.
It's
more.
Just it's so funny that we're in a summer where we literally have two movies where famous superheroes are going to fight each other. You have Batman versus Superman. You have Captain America:
right.
Civil War, and just the amount of fun and joy that is spewing from that Captain America trailer.
Even though
and,
it is dark.
Yes, even though it has a little bit,
but you still can't
you
wait.
Have, especially
like,
the latest one with Spider-Man hopping in.
Yeah.
I'm like, you at least have some levity. You know that Robert Downey Jr. is going to be funny. You
yes.
know that Chris Evans is going to go, the whole
well,
time.
You know they're going to work it out.
Yes.
What's the other Marvel this year? This has nothing to do with nothing. I just can't remember.
Oh, jeez.
No,
we've went over this timeline 100 times.
The other one this year is...
There's two this year. I didn't even know that.
Oh, there will never be a year without two Marvel movies ever again. I swear.
We just went through that whole timeline.
Because this is what...
Until 2024.
And
hey,
this
remember,
is, this
went,
is what...
If you went back to the 50s or the 40s, there'd be no... You know, how many Westerns were they making? So
right.
Just in the... You know, we're in a...
Well,
we're in a generation of a certain genre.
This is what you can do if you take your time with it, where, yeah... Robert Downey Jr. is only going to make so many more. Chris Evans is only going to make
yeah.
so many more.
Robert Downey Jr. said, I mean, there's no Iron Man 4, so he's contracted for two more. He'll likely be done.
But don't worry
Chris
about
Evans
it.
Chris Evans has said explicitly when he's done with Captain America, he's retiring from acting, period.
But don't worry. But that's what Marvel's got right. It doesn't matter, because by the time they're gone, you're going to care about Black Panther and Ant-Man as much as... Because they're like, all right, next crew up.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
how Avengers 2 ended. It was like, look, here's Falcon, here's... what's her name? Black Widow?
Yeah.
And here's the new guys. It's just, they could keep going forever.
I could be wrong. I don't know that I'll ever care about, like, Scarlet Witch as much
Scarlet
as I care
Witch,
about
that's
Captain
the one.
America.
I agree.
But who knows?
I mean, Scarlet Witch.
I didn't, you know, when I first heard Guardians of the Galaxy announced as a film, I was like, you know,
how are they
going
to
do
that?
And then you
right.
see the trailer and you're like, oh, that looks
how
like a blast.
Pumped, yeah, how pumped are you for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 now?
I'm
that's
excited.
The thing. The other Marvel this year is Doctor Strange.
Something that didn't exist.
This year.
Doctor Strange is out in November.
Yep.
Get out.
I'm really excited
no
for that.
Trailer,
but here's,
and it comes out in November.
Did you see the character?
No.
It looks amazing.
Benedict Cumberbatch is pretty
he
great
looks,
and everything.
He looks perfect.
Here's the point
he's
of
in
that.
A bad Star Trek movie.
There,
sh- really
yeah.
good
there should have been, if you wanted to do Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, there should have been, okay, Man of Steel. Then there should have been Man of Steel 2. Then there should have been the first solo Ben Affleck Batman.
I agree.
Then there should have been the first Wonder Woman. And maybe you even throw Flash in there all before
and
this
you know
movie
else?
Happens.
And
then
okay.
I'd be pumped.
I partially agree, partially disagree.
But
I
if
agree
they were,
that
but if they were patient... They would have been showing Batman 2 when Black Panther was coming out.
Right.
And they would have beat Black Panther.
Right.
You
true,
know what I mean?
But
if they were patient.
I also think that Black Panther, nobody knows, like, general audiences out there
no.
don't know jack about him. They don't know
Black
anything about
Marvel
Ant-Man.
Has proven that you're going to like
they're
it.
Doing it slowly. Everyone knows everything about Batman. So I honestly don't think you need a standalone for Batman. You already know Batman.
Yeah.
You do need a standalone for Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Because, you know, audiences know what she looks like. But they're thinking Linda Carter.
Yeah.
So Superman and Batman, I don't necessarily think they need standalones because we know so much about
and
them.
And I can't wait for Aquaman to be the Thor of DC.
Oh, gosh.
Just horrendous.
Yeah.
I wonder if Natalie Portman's going to be an Aquaman.
Did you see the toys of him? He literally, it literally looks like a homeless man found... like half set, half suit of armor.
By the way, I we'll go over the timeline again. I said you're not going to get more, you're not going to get fewer than 2 Marvel movies a year ever again. You're not going to get fewer than 3.
Yeah.
Because next year is Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man, and Thor 3.
Yeah.
The year after that is Black Panthers, Infinity War Part 1.
Hey, they're making money.
And Ant-Man 2.
I mean, I get, I'm an adult, I'm getting kind of bored by all the superheroes, but if I was in middle school, this would be my dream come true.
No,
and
at the end
of the day, yeah, but my movies really are for kids.
My dream come true in middle school was Lethal Weapon and Die Hard.
Right. But no, I'll tell you the truth. With Marvel, I am actually pretty excited about all of that now. Here's why. Because I've been a comic book guy for the past year. I just got into comic books. And I don't really read superhero stuff. I read Saga and Southern Bastards and Sex Criminals.
Saga.
Yeah.
Saga is wonderful. I'm very fringe.
I get in binges where I'll read comic books for a month and then not for a year.
But because I haven't done the comic books, now, in me, they've created, like, oh, yeah, all those characters I've seen in all those movies, I want to see some more of them.
I agree. I started reading, like, oh, right. Let me go check out some Ant-Man. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. If you have patience, you really make a lot of movies and get a lot of fans. This, they're rushing it so much that I'm like, that wasn't Batman. Where did Wonder Woman come from? What the hell is she doing here? It's too much too soon.
What's funny is you say too much too soon, but it also takes them an incredible amount of time to make these freaking movies. What year did Man of Steel come out?
We talked about it on the podcast, which means it's only 3 years ago.
But 3 years for the freaking sequel?
In that time, there have been 6 Marvel movies.
That's what I mean. Marvel's
being very patient.
Yeah.
They're doing a really good job.
But they're also putting out, you know, the sequels come out every other year?
Yeah.
Winter Soldier wasn't last summer, but it was the summer before that.
Yeah.
2 years later, you're getting the next one.
Well,
Man of Steel was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
2013. Wow. So it took you 3 years to make one sequel.
We've been doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else can we talk about that's not spoilery?
I want to go to the spoilers at this point. I liked Wonder Woman. We'll talk more about that. Gal Gadot is good casting. She did a good job. And what they did with her, I liked. That was one of the rare.
I have one complaint about her, but it's spoilery.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that.
Henry Cavill is cardboard. And it's not his fault.
He's gorgeous cardboard.
He is...
How have you
amazing.
Had literally okay. two Superman movies that have each been about 2.5 hours? So you've had 5 hours of Superman.
Yep.
And he said probably combined 30 lines of dialogue.
Yep.
There is more. I've seen one episode of Supergirl, and there was more. I attached to that character more in that 45 minutes than I did to this Superman in 5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I love looking at him.
And they did a bad job with Lois Lane in this one, too. I didn't think she... Amy Adams. It's not her fault either.
She's great, but...
I think she's great casting.
She is, but she's annoying.
I will say that one thing that they've done with Amy Adams in both of these films, in Man of Steel and this one, that I wish they did more of Lois in general, is actual journalism. There's little hints of her being a journalist and not just falling off buildings all the time.
Yeah.
But once again, we're talking about, you know, a combined 30 seconds out of a, you know, 2.5 hour film. But
all right, here's your next. No, there will be 3 more warnings that spoilers are coming. Here's the first one. Spoilers are coming after the break. Before we get to the break, a little bit of business. First, Aaron, where are you going to be?
Well, it's Friday. I'm hosting my Comic Wars show at Arcade Comedy Theater tomorrow night. And that's Saturday, the 26th?
Yes.
Yeah, Saturday, 26th, 8 p.m. at Arcade Comedy Theater. And also, if you're interested, I will be at the, sometimes I don't tell people, but I'll be at the Pittsburgh Improv March 31st through April 3rd with John Heffron.
Oh, there you go.
Little secret. This is the only time I'll say it here. And then... I have a really cool thing that I'm doing. I'm going on this tour called the One Night Only Variety Tour.
Ah.
And I am representing stand-up with a yo-yoer, a juggler, mm-hmm. a magician,
yeah.
And they're all ages shows. Couple of her adults, but we're going to be hitting places like York, PA, right outside of Philly. We're hitting Baltimore, West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin. It starts in Wisconsin. It's a lot of fun things, and I'm really excited to do a show like this.
Yeah.
But everything's, you know, AaronClyber.com, all that crap.
Tomorrow night, if you're hearing this on Friday, Saturday the 26th of March, I will be in Jamestown, New York, at the Jamestown Arena. Not playing the arena, at a different facility also located at the Jamestown Arena.
Banquet room 9.
Right, exactly.
We've been there.
Up in, Jamestown, New York. This is both my Jamestown debut and my State of New York debut.
Wow.
So if we have anyone in Jamestown, if we have anyone in, I guess, in Erie, Buffalo, I'm going to be in at the Jamestown Arena tomorrow night, Saturday, March 26th. And wanted to mention Thursday, March 31st, I'm doing a benefit for medical marijuana legalization.
No, you're not.
In the state of Pennsylvania.
How dare you?
Which I think, didn't that just pass? Didn't we get that?
A limited version of it.
Okay. Actually, yes. You have to have, like, AIDS.
Okay. So like, I guess this benefit is for further legalization.
There is a list of ailments you must have for.
Yes, and they're pretty serious ailments.
It's like six. There's like a list of six ailments you have to have.
Yes. So the fight is not over.
But it's a step in the right direction.
The fight is not over. So I'll still do a benefit. That is at the Pittsburgh Winery. Very cool, intimate venue. Yeah. This Thursday night, the 31st, with myself, Molly Shero, and Tim Ross. Chris, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, you can catch me tomorrow morning making waffles for my daughters.
Yes,
that's fun.
Yeah, that'll be a blast. Or you could see me at my computer working on sound and visual effects on a film.
Are you going to say anything about your film that you're working on?
I don't know when it'll be out or where it'll
be
out, but I'm working on a short film called Echo Torch, which will be out sometime in the spring.
Which so I haven't seen drawing for like 5 years.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's been about 4 or 5 years that I've been wanting to make this.
But we're
at the finish line. So
if this had been cool. 2 weeks ago, you could have plugged your appearance at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show.
We were at the Home and Garden Show for ten days.
Chris and Kurt signed autographs for 10 consecutive
days.
There it was commercials and Pandora. Mm-hmm. I heard Kurt on Pandora every hour on my way driving.
I didn't know that they actually got billboards for it too. So I was like literally driving across the high level bridge and I'm like,
no joke. I had Kurt just talking to me on Pandora my whole way to Minneapolis.
This happens with you on Hulu. I'm just trying to watch some old X-Files and Aaron's telling me about the lottery every 10 minutes.
I know, that's funny.
That's constantly on Hulu.
Anyway.
No, if you want to watch anything I'm doing, Pittsburgh Dad. If you Google Pittsburgh Dad or pghdad.com, or if you have not seen the Mercury Men, Google Mercury Men.
You can see that.
You can watch that.
Definitely. I think you can still watch the movie that Chris and I did in 2005.
Yes.
Captain Blasto.
Yes. If you want to see very young us in a...
I always mention that because people will go watch stuff like that, or A Great Disturbance. You can watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
in Captain Blaster doesn't murder anyone. So that's one of the positives.
To steal a baby.
Yes, but you don't kill the baby.
No, I don't execute the baby brand it.
No. Oh, my God. Thanks to our...
speaking of, there's going to be spoilers.
There's going to be spoilers. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, Puzzle Packs. Go to PUZZLEPAX.com for one-of-a-kind, custom-made, locally-owned, veteran-operated six-pack holders. Also, go to GoodsAndEvil.com for some of our favorite movie and nerd shirts, vegan shirts, great movie gear. You always talk about the Camp Crystal Lake
shirt. That's my favorite shirt of all time.
90% of Clyber's wardrobe is Goods and Evil.
And speaking
that's 100% true.
Speaking of Camp Crystal Lake, so thanks again to Row House. You've heard the last three episodes were from our week at Row House Cinema. We want to thank them again for letting us pick some movies. I want to apologize again for picking Crash, which officially became the worst performing movie in the history of Row House Cinema. Number was 5. Over the course of the week, it sold 5 tickets.
Wait. For Friday the 13th, did?
No, Crash.
Go Crash! Flash, of course it's going to sell 5 million. That movie's awful.
Should have seen that coming.
That's what I said.
Should have seen that coming.
Five? What? Who are you five out there that saw something that was like, oh, Crash is playing on the big screen? Got to see Crash on the big screen. What five people are out there?
I love Crash.
Oh, God. I wish I could have gone and debated Crash.
Well, that's what I really feel bad about is we wanted to do a debate for all four movies. And then when the schedule came out, we couldn't make it work for Crash.
Yeah.
So I was like, I made them show Crash for a week for no reason. Anyway,
but poor Rowhouse had to show Crash.
Speaking of Friday the 13th, I'm going to share this story. So we, Kurt Wooten and I, went Thursday night, watched Friday the 13th, did the podcast you heard last week downstairs at Atlas Bottle Works, had a good time. The next night, Tom Savini and a bunch of his buddies showed up at Rowhouse like, we're here for that podcast.
I know, right?
Because his friends got the date wrong. Admittedly, in expecting it would be on a Friday. But nevertheless,
you did it on a Thursday.
Big thanks to Tom Savini for coming out.
If you guys know Tom Savini, tell him we love him.
I
spout his praises all over the country. I just had this huge talk. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wait, wasn't there another Friday the 13th that he worked on?
Friday the 13th, part four.
You got to get him on the podcast for part four.
Yeah, well, all I'll say is we're in talks.
Okay.
Apparently,
we're in negotiations.
We know that he's local. If he wants to talk about Friday the 13th or any of his movies, we will be happy to accommodate.
I always drop his name, giving the horror history of Pittsburgh to movie fans all over the country. When I talk to some random bartender at a comedy club about how much they love horror movies, I'm like, well, I'm from Pittsburgh, and here's what you need to know.
Yes.
So
thanks to Tom for coming out. Sorry for your confusion. Hopefully we'll be able to do something with him and Rowhouse soon.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some more live shows.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. Live podcast.
Yeah, thanks again to them. Go to rowhousecinema.com. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spoil this movie, so if you don't want spoilers, thank you for listening. Press pause, come back to this episode.
Spoiler, Bruce Wayne is Batman. Sorry, I ruined it.
So, guys,
we'll be back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast, but...
Craft Fuel Beer Potter. Craft Fuel... Craft Beer Fuel Pot... Motherfucker, all right, man. I'm going to have to write that down.
What up? Craft Fuel Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel...
Craft
Beer Fuel Podcast.
Okay. Craft Brew Fuel. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast. Alright, so Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast on.
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew, Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
And we're back.
Jackpot.
Superman dies.
He did that last time.
Yeah.
With Han.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Star Wars? It's full of spoilers. Who cares?
With Han. Bruce Willis is a ghost. Falcon.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to warn people one more time, but they got it. They got it. We said it how many times? If that ruined it for you.
Did you know this? Because I did not know Superman dies. Because I
no.
really. I watch the teaser and then I stop. I don't watch anything else.
Oh no, I did not know that at all. I remember hearing that Doomsday was in it and going,
well, right.
Doesn't Doomsday kill Superman?
Yeah, that's what I was curious about.
So.
But if you're gonna do Doomsday killing Superman, you got to do the cape on the stick, like flowing in the wind.
They did the Pieta. Because if you remember from Man of Steel, every eighth scene is about how Superman is Jesus. So
yes,
it ends with Lois Lane as Mary,
yes,
cradling Superman.
Oh,
as
my
Jesus.
Gosh, the religious imagery in this is just off the charts. It's like every 15 seconds they're cut into a stained glass painting that vaguely looks like Superman fighting Doomsday.
And every time Superman is in the sky, the sun is shining behind him with his arms out.
With his arms out. Yeah, it's like, we get it, dude.
So
here's
the thing.
Which, okay, and like, this is the other point. They keep trying to push Superman as Jesus, and I get it. But he was created by two Jewish kids. He's literally a baby that's put in a basket and sent off to live with other people. He's freaking Moses, not Jesus.
Yeah.
Not to mention, if Superman showed up tomorrow, that would kind of be more of a wrinkle for Christianity than an affirmation. Just saying.
Man, I don't know about that.
I don't know that Christianity... it's opposed to aliens, though.
Well, yeah, that you could be right. You could be right. I'm just saying it would complicate some people's views.
It definitely complicates
some
views. You're absolutely right.
Here's the thing. So this movie is called Batman v Superman.
Yes.
And for an hour and a half, maybe an hour 40, it's about Batman is pissed because Superman knocked down a goddamn city fighting
with that
Zod.
One guy in it. Like, Bruce Wayne had that one guy in his building,
right?
Like Dave or something like that died.
Dave.
Yeah.
7,500 Rain Corp employees died. We're just worried about Dave. His character,
yeah,
like,
I don't even know if that's the guy's name. I forget.
Anyway.
Jeff? I don't know what
Lenny,
that guy's...
Lenny? Remember?
Lenny died in the building.
Doesn't he say, isn't that short for...
Yeah.
So
I will say, there's something very cool about seeing that scene from a different perspective.
There, yeah, that was good.
Like, to steal it from Back to the Future 2, there's something that's cool about seeing the hero from seeing something you already know from afar.
Yeah, I agree.
And the effectiveness of, like, that heat vision ripping up the building. It's a shame that they honestly, I know, like, I complained for the movie being so dark and dour. It's a shame that they didn't set up that there was more people in the building.
Right.
The fact that they're, like, just showing the one guy on the phone.
I mean, they did show the little girl's mom died. She was just
true.
Like,
her point.
Where's
that?
Your mommy? She pointed to a building that was not there anymore.
So you show a floor full of people, and then you cut to the exterior of that building, and you're seeing heat vision, go through.
Spoilers,
right? So that happens, and we're thinking, oh, this will be about how no one trusts Superman.
Yeah.
Immediately, nah, it's just Batman. Batman's the only one worried about it.
Yeah. But then when Superman came to the Capitol, there was all those people boycotting him.
Yeah,
no,
the government.
A little bit. But there's a giant statue of Superman. There's a statue of Superman in Congress, by the way, and a giant one in Metropolis.
Why would they build the statue? Because they don't know... Like, they don't... They like you're telling me that the whole world or America understands... What really happened between Superman and Zod?
Yeah, they have no idea.
They have no idea. They just see two people come out of the sky and start punching each other. Not about, oh, the one that won, let's build him a statue.
So then it's Batman. Bruce Wayne is getting more and more suspicious of Superman. And Lex Luthor is kind of egging them on. We haven't even talked about that yet. Lex Luthor is kind of egging them on. And then hour 30, hour 40, you have the fight between Batman and Superman, and it ends with some bullshit where...
Well, let's also preface
where because
that
their moms have the same name,
see,
now they're
I'm
going to
disagree with you. I think it's something that...
It was okay.
I'm shocked at how long I've been reading Batman and Superman, and how much that I've never noticed that that their mothers have the same name.
I didn't realize that either.
Never noticed it. That, to me, was the one moment in this movie where you actually grabbed me.
Like
actually
kind of
pulled
at
my heart. Yeah, I actually felt something. I was like, oh, shit, they have the same mom name. They have the same mom name. Their mothers have the same name. That was surprisingly effective.
But Batman is ready to kill Superman and die doing it.
And then
he realizes, you know, Superman's about to lose a mother, and he lost a mother, and he has a moment of sympathy. But there's nothing... To be like, yeah,
well, see, they built that up in
I
the opening credits, though. They built it up in the opening credits by his father. His father kept saying Martha as he was dying.
Yeah.
And he goes to, it's Martha's grave that the black ooze comes
right.
out of.
But after the whole movie up to that point, there's no point then, there's a point that establishes sympathy, but there's no point where Superman earns Batman's trust. But at that moment, it turns on a dime and they're buddies working together.
I didn't like that. He was, like, meticulously trying to murder him. And then it was like, hey, you need help? Like, yes. Like, what?
Yeah, it's true. You're right. Right. And also, quick. It was weird that Superman shows up for this fight. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to show up and be like, hey, listen, they've got my mom.
I know. That, like, I hate stuff in movies like that. Just say, hey, wait a second, wait.
Yeah, wait a second. They have my mom. They're going to kill her. They're trying to, like, just, if he'd have said one sentence, he solves that
Superman,
fight.
But Superman, he doesn't talk in these
and
movies.
He doesn't talk in Superman
so
movies.
Annoying.
And so I just hate when a whole plot revolves around a character just doesn't talk. Yep. When they just go, wait, you don't understand. He keeps
don't
just saying,
understand what?
Yes. You keep saying, wait, you don't understand without just saying, they have my mom.
I hate that.
But,
I...
Okay, so we get through that, which is stupid. And then, because it's a DC super, we can't just go home. We have to have something almost kill the world. So out of nowhere, here's Doomsday. And by the way, why did Lex Luthor want Batman and Superman to fight? What was his point? What was his end game?
And also, I guess his plan was, if he got Superman to kill Batman, he was making Doomsday to kill Superman. He was getting rid of both of them.
It felt like he was
doing it. Just wanted a weapons contract.
It felt like what you said about 300, where he was just doing the thing where he could show the world that Superman wasn't a god.
Right.
That he could just show the world that, like, this is a fallible, weak person.
Yeah, there's a scientific explanation for this.
But even if you're right, it's really underwritten.
The timeline of his plan was that.
Yes, even if that's correct, it's really underwritten what he wants and why he wants it.
And it's also incredibly unclear why he's batshit crazy.
No idea why.
He seems,
he's like, my dad beat me
in one sentence. But when you first meet him, his first scene, he was surprisingly put together. And so I was like, okay, what's going to unhinge this guy? He just keeps coming unhinged
and then,
for no reason
by
whatsoever.
The end of the movie, he is the Joker.
He's the Joker. Yes.
And it's so annoying.
And we're not...
so frustrating. He's licking his lips like Hannibal Lecter. It's fucking bananas.
It's... and by the way, he's terrible. It
he
was
is
bad
horrendous.
Casting and Jesse Eisenberg.
I see, I'm
going to
be the lone one
job.
In this. I think the casting is really good. I think the character's poorly written.
It's poorly acted as well. So it's bad.
What did we like last
year? Who would
year?
Act that better? Who would act those lines
I'll take
better?
Kevin Spacey back.
I still don't think he's going to be any better with
I'll
those lines.
I'll take Kevin Spacey back.
A bad script is a
I'll
bad
take,
script.
We got to start naming villains.
You can make a bad movie out of a good script, but you can't make Brian a good
Cranston.
Movie out of a bad script.
I'm going to go
Brian
back.
Cranston.
I'm gonna
would
go,
be a better Lex Luthor. But he can't, not with that script.
No.
Brian Cranston licking his lips in a jail cell?
Horrendous.
Yeah.
But he did a really bad job.
Lex Luthor is not like that ever.
No, like, but Lex Luthor's, let's be real. Lex Luthor's a bad villain. He's a boring villain. Lex Luthor's just generally boring.
He usually comes up with all these master plans and gets other people to do his bidding.
Yes.
He's good at manipulating.
And I got to say, this was an actual master plan.
Well,
his,
for what?
Hold
what
on
did he even
I agree.
Want?
His
on.
Reasoning was bad,
to...
but there was actually a plan.
Hold on, I have to
okay,
backtrack.
Let, okay, wait, stop for a second.
It's
Lex Luthor's
plan
in Superman Returns was to grow an island of kryptonite. What use is that plan? That's an awful plan. Lex Luthor's plan in Superman 1 was to own Seaside Realty in California. That's an awful plan.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's a guy with bad plans.
He has bad plans. He's a bad character.
But
let's just be honest. Lex Luthor is boring.
To the actor, I'm reading from IMDb trivia. Before Jesse Eisenberg was cast, Matt Damon, Bradley Cooper, Joaquin Phoenix,
yes.
Adam Driver,
yes.
and Jean Dujardin were on the list.
Maybe.
All of the now, I wouldn't Phoenix. Do. I wouldn't do Matt Damon or Bradley Cooper either.
No way.
Every one of them would have been better than
Joaquin
him.
Phoenix.
See, I like Jesse Eisenberg. I just think it's a bad. I think it's bad written. I think you give that actor a better script.
He was the
and he'd
same.
Be,
he was the same character in American Ultra. Did you see that?
No,
that was good.
That was actually good.
By the way,
Sean,
the answer.
Wasn't he the character from American Ultra with $1 billion?
By the way, the answer is Ben Foster. Ben Foster would have been pretty damn good in that part. And might have actually been able to sell it.
Idris Elba. That's the answer to my
answer. Whenever there's a casting dilemma.
I'd take him as Superman. Give me Idris Elba as Superman.
I want Idris Elba to be James Bond, Batman. Yep. I want Idris Elba to be everything.
Yeah.
He is terrible.
But anyway.
Let me just say, I want to backtrack. Actually, his plan doesn't make any sense at all. Okay.
Yeah.
because this is where this is super spoiler. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna kidnap Martha Kent.
Yes.
And then kidnap Lois and get Superman to kill Batman, and then I'll grow Doomsday to, by the way, he, I know that's a, it's a thing.
It's awful.
Okay.
Is that where Doomsday comes from in the comics?
Doomsday in
this movie grows out of General Zod's body. No,
Doomsday in the comics is from Krypton millions of years ago.
Yes.
And he's been, he's essentially such a, he was on prehistoric Krypton.
Yes.
And so he was he was basically raised in such awful conditions that it made him so tough.
Right.
That he's literally shipped, he lands on a planet and destroy so many people that entire planets devise how to get rid of him, and so they just keep hurling him out. You can't kill him.
Different
planets. They keep hurling him out to space, and thousands of years, he just ends up landing on planets, and same thing, kills everything on the planet until they can figure out how to get rid of him.
Yes.
And then he just eventually lands on Earth.
So the whole thing of, he uses Zod's fingerprints to get in his ship. How in the F does Lex Luthor know how this alien ship works, especially to grow a monster?
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of moments in
that
this movie.
That is, when he started growing a monster.
And the fact that the ship is just like, it literally,
oh, hello,
he walks
like
in the
grow
ship.
A monster?
He literally walks in the ship and it's like, hello, would you like to assume control of this ship? And he's like, yes.
I mean,
as simple as that.
That was Superman 4 Lex Luthor lines right there.
Yeah.
It was bad. Dude. Oh, my. The whole Zod's dead body and pouring blood in his mouth, that was horrendous.
And
the whole growing of Doomsday.
Lex Luthor, almost every line of dialogue, he's just constantly spouting, biblical quotes or Greek mythology.
It's like that kid that we all grew up with that thinks he's really, really smart, but just read things backwards.
But that's Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor sucks.
Well, and we
he just sucks.
So,
Joker's just such a cooler villain.
So the movie just ends with a Doomsday fight because we didn't know what else to do.
Well,
that doesn't really have anything to do.
Doomsday is the answer to every superhero.
Well,
movie.
Zack Snyder has in so many of his interviews, he keeps talking about how he views Superman, and other comic creators have said this, but he views Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman as the American mythology. They are
right.
Greek mythology, they are American mythology.
Right.
And so he's trying to tell these big, destructive, mythological, biblical stories with these characters. The sad thing is, they're just not interesting.
No.
It's just, when it comes down to it, it's just CGI punching CGI.
Yeah.
And Avengers does that. There's Hulk fighting Iron Man. But at the very least, when you have that, you at least cut to Robert Downey Jr.'s face with all that computer graphics floating around his face, and he says something funny.
And you've developed the characters, and we're attached to them.
Yes, we've seen him in five films or something at this point. So you've at least, there's some levity to it. They're not taking it so serious. They are laughing at the fact that Hulk and Iron Man are punching each other. There's some humor to it that this movie, unfortunately, just doesn't have.
And really, the only thing I thought, okay, good, they did something, was that, Doomsday and Superman kill each other, and it ends with, oh shit, Superman's dead, and...
But you can't, those moments are entirely ineffective if you know for a fact that there's a Justice League movie in production in 2 months.
And I was thinking, hey, at least they had some balls and they did something shocking and killed off Superman.
Yeah.
And then, the ultimate spoiler, the last shot of the movie is dirt rising off of Superman's coffin, because he'd gonna be fine, everybody.
Yes,
even if that shot hadn't been, if
I
that
actually,
shot
I
wasn't
actually
in
gave
there,
them a lot of respect and credit, because I was like, oh, I think they're gonna kill him.
Yeah,
because they kind of set up Batman and Wonder Woman, we're the people now.
Right,
Superman's gone. I was like, oh, good.
And
once
I thought,
again,
people weren't that crazy about Man of Steel. Now we've done him twice, and you decided to move on. Awesome. If that shot of the dirt rising hadn't been in there, I might have had in the back of my mind, they might bring him back. But I swear, my final number would have been a point higher without that dirt rising off of the coffin.
I agree. I was like, I thought
but
you guys made a bold decision, and I liked it.
They also set up, at the end, all these people, being so inspired even the whole movie, they're inspired by Superman. He's such an inspirational figure. He's telling people, showing people they can rise to something better. But they say that a lot in the movie. They never show it.
Right.
They
yeah.
show Superman. Show they us. Show Superman. Yeah. No, it's a dream sequence. But they show Superman kill more people in this movie than Absolutely. He saves.
Yep.
They show think Batman. About that. They show Batman murder more people than he saves.
Which can we Batman get and on Superman that for a
kills Batman and Superman kill more people in a film than they save. Even, get down to the root problem, that's it.
Even if you've only seen the Nolan movies, even if you only saw Dark Knight, and that's all you know about Batman, one of the essential things of that character is he's not going to kill anybody and he doesn't use guns.
Well,
and
in this movie, this Batman he mows
people
much...
down like you're playing House of the Dead at the
yes,
arcade.
He's SWAT team agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, yes. It's just ridiculous.
And he fires guns. Like almost willy nilly to the point where like you have no idea where these Batmobile bullets are. Like he just literally he'll just shoot them through buildings. And I'm like, you have no idea if anyone's in there just getting murdered.
And that's what I'm talking about when I say this isn't Batman. I didn't just see Batman.
Remember when we used to get excited about the Batmobile and the Batwing?
Yeah,
I didn't even care what it was
because I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah,
they never were like, here's the Batmobile. It was just like suddenly like, here's this car that's zipping around so fast.
And driving
like,
through buildings.
Driving through buildings. I'm like, like they show you the flames coming out of the back of it, but I'm like, I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Yeah. Anything else you want to spoil? Oh, yeah.
Well,
Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg get introductory vignettes on Wonder Woman's
damn security
laptop.
Footage. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was really frustrating that it's... three huge superheroes get introduced on YouTube videos.
Yes.
Have them show up.
Like Marvel straight up does an entire movie about Ant-Man to introduce you to the character. Not just to introduce
and
the character,
Cyborg,
to give you a fun film.
And all three of them look like a fan film on YouTube.
Yes, you're absolutely dead right.
And the most, certainly the most prominent of those, the one that people have the most attachment to, The Flash.
Right.
You saw a
Is that a totally different guy?
You saw
in the show,
yeah. You saw a streak.
What do you think?
For 2 seconds,
you have two flashes.
Okay,
going
here's the
whip,
problem. Here's
whip,
it, is
that's
it,
the
here's
whole
the problem you have. One, it's a shame because the guy that plays the Flash is phenomenal.
I heard
the,
it's great.
The
I haven't
show,
watched it yet.
The show's fun. It's light. There's really powerful episodes and really corny episodes, but there's lots of great stuff in there. The problem is the tone is so different, and they've built in that Flash show. They've built such a history of other characters. It's tied in with Supergirl. In the Supergirl show, Superman is in the Supergirl show. Like,
is Henry Cavill in Supergirl?
No, they never show Superman, but he, like, they always show him from behind, or you just see a boot, or you just see, like, a blur.
I gotta watch Supergirl.
I only watched the one, but it was good.
Stick with Flash.
Okay.
But you can't bring that tonally, that world cannot combine. You just can't. There's just it's
well,
too.
Well, that's their fault.
The Flash show is super comic booky. The movies are.
Well,
just,
this is horror porn.
I feel like I need to like go watch an uplifting film after this, like Schindler's List. I need to get. I need an upper after this.
I did say a couple times. I turned to Sean that. I want to see Batman's dream sequences in movies.
Because they were cooler than...
They were
Batman
okay,
was
my favorite
to,
parts of the movies. Well, except his one dream sequence when a CGI bat attacks him. Well, it's kind of like... what's the freaking... The
what's the big mutant bat monster?
Oh, Man-Bat.
Man-Bat. Man-Bat.
Okay,
yeah.
But like, here's another problem. This is a problem I have with another Batman movie. The same thing happens in Dark Knight Rises. Plot points are given to Bruce Wayne
through
dreams.
I'm
like, who knows? Maybe in a later movie, they're going to say these dreams were induced by something.
Batman in a duster in the desert beating up dudes was
badass,
the best part
of
the
for
movie.
Some reason you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, that what Batman is having nightmares about Superman, and we go to Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome dystopia,
which
where
so
Superman
good.
Is running like a Nazi army that's conquered the world, and Batman's the resistance. I'm like, make this movie. This is so much better than the movie you made.
Yeah, but once again, he's having dreams about he sees that giant Omega symbol in the desert, which is Darkseid or you know, New Gods. And it's all parademons that are attacking them, which are Darkseid, which is from Apocalypse.
And you said it's teased that those are the next villain.
Well,
Justice
League is Darkseid, which is Darkseid is Thanos. You know, Marvel has Thanos. DC has Darkseid. why would Batman know anything about any of that?
Yeah.
Like, why in his dreams would he...
He's a prophet, yes. Apparently.
And then he has a dream about some character from the future.
Wait, they're both Jesus? Both of them are Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
He has a dream about some character from the future, like, coming through a portal. Who was that supposed to be? I don't know. Is that Flash? I don't know who
that
was.
No idea who that was.
I thought it might have been Flash.
Literally like running has so a fast dream about a character that nobody can identify. You have three comic book readers
sitting here.
It's got
to be on the internet. It's, you know, because he
that
said
leans
that,
through a portal and warns him. Like,
but he said it was Flash. It might have been the same guy. But why was he wearing like
armor,
like Metroid armor?
Yeah, because like, it was from the future. I don't know.
Why would that character? So that had to just be a dream, because why would that character warn him about Superman?
But the character actually did name the things. He said about, you know, you've got to find Lois, you've got to... He kept saying you were right about him, which Bruce interpreted to mean about Superman, but I think the guy actually meant about Lex.
Okay. This is a bad movie. This is just
now.
A bad
all of us
movie.
Are on our phones looking stuff up.
Trying
this
to
is making
out
an interesting.
Trying to figure out who this dude
an
is.
An interesting podcast is us silently researching.
Oh no,
this happens every week.
Yeah. It happens every week.
I know.
On IMDb.
People don't like it. Anyway, there's nothing. I mean, we spoiled everything. There's nothing else to do but give a rating and try to put this all behind us.
Jeez.
There again. I liked Wonder Woman. I liked Alfred.
But now we're talking about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonder Woman had, like, she seems like a cool character. But once again, you have a character that they never, I don't even know they ever once say a name. Do they ever say either her secret identity name or no one says Wonder Woman?
Also, I don't like most of the movie, she's a stupid Bond girl. That's annoying.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not on the far side of a feminist. But, I mean, I like it enough where I'm just like, really? She's a hot Bond girl at a party for 45 minutes?
Yeah, they did not. They
That's
did not
annoying.
Develop. When
and
she shows
like,
up,
and
it's
then
great.
Like,
before that, it's like, can you actually develop this character instead of just showing
her
wandering through parties
around,
and
walking around drinking
dresses?
Martinis and hot dresses?
It's
and
like,
then they're like, oh, by the way, she was a warrior. Okay, we'll show that. And why is she just walking around a party like a Bond girl? Do you really think that person... It's just walking
because
around.
Because she was trying to get that photo. That's what she says. But once again, they're just... The movie
that was annoying.
The movie is assuming that you know everything about Wonder Woman already.
But yet again, we have to watch the Waynes get murdered over and over and over.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know
I'm
that Bruce
you,
Wayne's parents
you're gonna,
were
it
shot.
Doesn't... Bruce Wayne, Batman movies have to show you the Waynes getting murdered, and Spider-Man movies have
to
show
go to
Uncle
a,
Ben getting
I
murdered.
I
want
to go to a convention and just see a table of children who played young Bruce just watching their parents get murdered.
How many young actors?
There's got to be about eight.
Have had to watch pearls spill on a sideline.
Oh, yeah. Way to steal Burton's...
And by the way, that was...
He took
that was
from Frank Miller.
That was brutal.
Oh,
that was
from
brutal.
86,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The murder of the parents was rough.
Yeah, the kids movie that they're gonna have toys at McDonald's next week. The gun's barrel slide pulls the pulls off while he shoots her in the face.
Oh my word!
He shoots her in the face,
and I love that. Like, as we get older, the movie that Bruce Wayne is seeing in theaters has to get more and more modern.
Yeah.
It starts out as Mark of the Zorro.
Did you see the Star Wars poster?
Yeah.
But they even had
the Zorro one up there, whatever. But it started out as Zorro. Now they were going to see Excalibur.
Yeah.
It's like, at some point, we're going to see a Batman movie where Bruce Wayne gets murdered outside of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's give a rating. We are... This should be two episodes.
Three?
Only because...
Out of what? Three out of what?
Ten?
Out of ten? Wow.
Yeah, Sean don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I thought about going to four or five, but I'm so angry.
Batman is my favorite character. I thought Batman by himself fighting was pretty... good. I thought it was pretty much Frank Miller's Batman costume from the Dark What was it?
Yeah, but from Dark Knight Returns.
From Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, Batman has a good costume.
It's
yeah,
one
there's
of my
another.
Favorite. I mean, him beating up dudes was pretty cool, except when he was firing machine guns all over the place.
Yeah, the scene with him attacking those guys to save Martha was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty brutal, but...
I'm still going to give it a 4. I think they really disrespected Wonder Woman, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm probably lower than you guys. I'm probably at a 2 or a 3.
Whoa!
But, I mean, honestly, it just comes out to... It's like... It's just not for me. Like, I don't want to... I can't... I think Zack Snyder is a very talented director. I think, one, the DP I love. He's the guy that shot Super 8, another movie I love despite its flaws. But, you know, beautiful. A lot of great, gorgeous shots.
Cool shots.
Like, there's effective visual effects. Like, technically, the technical aspects of this film...
They look a little bit of a...
Yeah, that's just
CGI.
But, you know, the techno aspects of the film are good, but yeah, once again, it's just so dour and joyless. The fact that you can
count, and scene to scene, it's pretty disjointed.
The fact that you can count the amount of characters that smile on one hand, like
dead Kevin Costner, and
wait, and where did that come from?
And what
was
the
that
hell
a dream?
Was that
he went on a hike. Superman went on a hike.
Yeah, I would turn to Sean and go, "What the fuck? Why is he hiking?"
Okay, wait. One other thing I should point out is how many times Clark Kent or Superman wanted to see what someone was up to, so he followed them. He followed Bruce Wayne around Lex's place instead of using X-ray vision.
Also, how did Batman, Master Detective, get snuck up on by Wonder Woman? Like Batman doesn't know someone's following him.
In heels yet.
And I love that Lex Luthor keeps his like, this billionaire keeps his servers next to the kitchen. He keeps the computer servers in a glass case next to the kitchen.
I can't even handle that right now. I didn't even think of that.
So, oh, there's the kitchen, or there's the mainframe right next to each other.
This movie is bad. Don't see it. That's where I'm at. I would tell... No, you do not need to see this movie.
You don't.
No, you don't.
You really
but
don't.
But I still know, I still want to watch, like, 3 Batman scenes again. I want to watch them.
That one, that wasn't Batman.
No, it just makes me want to go back home and watch Christopher Reeve save Margot Kidder from falling out of that helicopter. Because that's about as good as it gets.
I watch Batman Animated Series with my kids. It's so dark.
That is hands down. Batman the Animated Series is still hands down the best Batman.
It's so good. Well.
All right. I don't know. I got nothing.
Instead of seeing this, Star Wars is still in some
theater. It's in the theater right now.
I got to be honest. If you're in line or you're in the car listening to this right now on the way to a theater to see BVS, just...
BVS DOJ.
DOJ. I'm telling you, just get another ticket for The Force Awakens and go see something that will actually make you happy.
I said this to you outside. You know what the best movie I saw this week was? My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Think about that.
Actually, I saw the worst movie of the year this past week, and that is Zoolander 2.
Okay.
It's going to be the worst movie of the
year. I didn't see it. I'm just saying...
I think at this point I'm telling you to see Zoolander 2 just because it's that bad.
Well, I just want you to think about the fact that I watched 2 movies this week... Batman and My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. And if you said, which one of those should I see, I would say you should probably go with My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Sweet.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.